But Merry Christmas. Great to have you here this morning. And we're just going to think for a little bit about this beginning of John's Gospel. If you were here last night, we started off with the first, I think it was 9 verses of chapter 1. And now we're just doing, I think it's from 10 through to 19. So not a lot. And there's some heavy stuff in there in the sense that it's quite thick with things and ideas like the Word and light and what all that means. Maybe to get you up to speed from last night, the Word is Jesus. He is God, he comes from God, and he's also the light. He's the light of the world. And it's an amazing thing about Christmas time. In the verse that I started the service with is in the middle of this passage. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's more often what we think of at Christmas, isn't it? Rather than the Word and the light of the world, we think of a baby born in a manger. There are some historical inaccuracies, but basically a baby is what we're talking about. Full of life and vigour, or maybe full of food and ready to sleep. I hope if you do have a child that this is your child before the end of the day. But who knows? We'll see how we go, won't we? Christmas Day. But the idea that the Word, God himself, somehow becomes human, but not just human, a little child, is actually born a baby. It's quite amazing, and it's also quite special that God would choose to make himself available to us in a way that we can see and understand and relate to. And maybe this is not a good way of looking at it, I don't know, but to me it's also God understanding in a way that he wouldn't have if he hadn't, what it is to be us as well. The Word becomes flesh, a baby boy. It's quite amazing. And in verse 10, we're told these words by John. He says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So even though he was born a baby, as he grew and developed a character which walked a little bit differently and talked a little bit differently to many of us in a way that challenged some of us, humanity found it hard to accept him, even though he showed us what true humanity really is. And so his own humans did not receive him. When I'm preparing a talk, I often use Google image search, and I typed in not received. And the image that came up the most was your Amazon parcels, actually, that are not received. It's not because you didn't want to receive them, is it? I assume. You're the one who ordered them, I assume. I actually had intentions of wearing a nice Christmas t-shirt. We ordered it, and it still hasn't come. So next year, I'm hoping that I'll have a nice Christmas shirt. It has not been received. The interesting thing with Jesus, though, is we needed him. Oh, we needed him. But for some reason, some of us were so challenged by the light that shone into our darkness that we rejected him. Many did not understand who he was. The wise men, though, in the Christmas story do understand, don't they? They seek him. They move towards him. They receive him. And so although some people have struggled with who Jesus is and how to receive him and accept him, others haven't. And so John wants to say this for the others. He says, yet to all who did receive him, well, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And so just briefly, John describes the way people often become family, if you like, or become descendants through natural descent or a decision, for example, a husband's decision to bring somebody into his household, but instead born of God. Receiving Jesus, John wants us to know something special. For those who receive, there is something special that happens as a result of that with God's family. They find that they belong. And the interesting thing is that you find that you belong where you were created to be, the place where you should most naturally belong. Now, one of the great things about Christmas, no matter how much you do or don't understand of Jesus, for many of us, not for all, as Sharon has prayed for some who have not had this, but for many of us, Christmas is often, it's often associated, isn't it, as a time for family, a time of belonging, a time of connection. I rang a couple of relatives yesterday who I don't ring every day because it was Christmas coming up. That's what we do, isn't it? We make those connections. Our human families, and up there on the screen, there's a whole lot of family resemblance that you can see in the photos there. And often with our human families, we can look at each other and we can see some connections that we have, don't we? But that's not what John is talking about so much. Well, in the sense that it actually goes back to us in our humanity at its core, not just the ones closest to us who look the most like us. It's much more than that. It's a spiritual descent, to be born of God, just like that baby that came at Christmas time. So as John says, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. God wants to be with us. The word that often, or the name that often gets said at Christmas time is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so the Word becomes flesh, makes his dwelling among us, such as his desire to be with us. And John says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. And then he describes this Word, this Jesus, with two of my favorite words. He says, came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This description of the character of this infant who would grow to be a man. Full of truth and grace. Those two things I just want to sit with for a moment, because maybe you haven't thought about those two things, truth and grace. They're two things that are very important, but if you only have one of them, you create a mess. If you only have truth and no grace, you're a very hard person to be with. If you only have grace and no truth, you're a great person to be with. For a while. It's those two things when they come together. And John wants us to know that those two things are found in this infant that we celebrate the birth of. A little phrase that I've used lately, which I picked up somewhere, he knows you the best, he loves you the most. I actually see truth and grace in those two statements. He knows you the best. He knows the truth about you. He knows the truth about me. There's nothing about me that's hidden from him. Now, my understanding of that means that he shouldn't love me at all. But he's not just about truth. He's 100% truth, but he's also 100% grace. He loves me the most. Now, I don't know if you've noticed that we as humans, with our interactions with each other, often we let people see a little bit of ourselves, a little bit more truth, or sometimes we let some truth sort of out by accident about who we are. And then we gauge from their response, and they'll respond differently. Some people will still love us and some people won't. They will actually hate us or judge us. And so our experience with each other is the more you let people in, the more you find you have less friends. Jesus is one of those who you can let fully in. And he will fully be there with you and for you. So much so that he realized there were some things that were getting in the way of him and you and me. And because he's 100% truth, 100% grace, he did something about that at great cost to himself. So verse 18, John goes on, he says, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in his closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus steps in and bridges this gap between us and God. He is God, come in human form. And he comes that so we might know God more fully. Now, you may not have heard of him, though Google is always your friend, but one of my favorite authors is a guy called David Benner, and he wrote this: if the invisible God had never become visible, our knowing of God would remain very limited. What God longs for us to experience is intimate knowing that comes by means of an ongoing relationship. And so there's this moment each year that we remember the birth of this child. That birth of the child is not about a once in a day, sort of one day a year thing that God wants from us, or that God is interested in, or that God came for in Jesus. It's actually an ongoing relationship and connection with you that he most desires. So my question for you as we sort of finish and you go about your Christmas day is, do you have that intimate relationship with Jesus? It's not defined by whether or not you come to church. It's not defined by how much of the Bible you do or don't know. Those aren't the things that define a relationship. There's other things. There's things like whether or not you spend time with Jesus each day, whether you listen to Jesus and allow him the opportunity to speak to you in some way, whether you practice being with him and walking with him, because that's what relationship is. Relationship is not a once a year thing, which is a great reminder for me to ring those relatives more than just Christmas time. And so at Christmas time, it's about gifts, and I think I can hear some people playing with gifts this morning. But there is a gift that is there, and that gift is Jesus for each and every one of us. It's God giving himself to you, extending an open hand, inviting you to know him and to walk with him and to grow in that connection with him each and every day. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this child that we celebrate the birth of today. We thank you that he was no ordinary baby boy, but rather that he had come from you, that he is you. We thank you for the gift that he brings of connection to you. Pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to discover each day what it is to walk closely alongside of you, that we might grow in that truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.